Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
So, from bromance...
We're going to have secure borders, sensible spending, basic stuff. And we're going to take Doge to Mars.
To break up...
Elon, I don't know well anymore. I was surprised. I'm very disappointed.
Well, the Elon-Trump union has reached an end. That rift between the US president and his former Doge advisor erupted into the open, with each trading insults after the tech billionaire criticised one of Trump's key domestic policies. Well, the two billionaires escalated the feud, lobbing barbs at each other on the social media sites they each own. So Musk alleged that President Trump was featured in secret US government files on the sex offender Jeffrey Epstein and offered no evidence for his claim. And then Donald Trump threatened to cancel Elon Musk's government contracts. Well, the White House spokeswoman Caroline Levitt described Mr. Musk's comments as an unfortunate episode. This is how Donald Trump responded in the White House.
Elon and I had a great relationship. I don't know well anymore. I was surprised because you were here. Everybody in this room practically was here as we had a wonderful send-off. He said wonderful things about me. You couldn't have nicer. Said the best thing. He's worn the hat. Trump was right about everything. And I am right about the great, big, beautiful bill. But I'm very disappointed because Elon knew the inner workings of this bill better than almost anybody sitting here.
This is how some Americans have been reacting to the fallout.
It's not going to be something that's just going to get resolved, like swept under the rug. I think it's two egos going at it.
It looks like a lot of petty fighting, a lot of male hubris just out on display.
I mean, the odds of actually guessing what's going to come next has never been as weird as now. Yeah. I don't think our country's ever experienced this exact circumstances.
Well, I'm joined on the line, firstly, by Danny Hewson, head of financial analysis at AJ Bell. Danny, this row, I mean, it's fascinating for us to watch on, but it had real world impacts immediately. What happened to the markets?
Yeah, absolutely. Tesla shares dropped 14% on Thursday. That's where they closed. They fell about 18% at one point, wiping more than $152 billion off the market value of Tesla. That's the biggest one-day decline in the company's history. And of course, there was also a knock-on to the wider market. So just looking at where the S&P 500 finished, it was down 0.5%, the NASDAQ down 0.8%. Which doesn't sound like a great deal, but it just sort of demonstrates how much the markets are watching what is going on. It was really interesting, of course, because you were mentioning there about Donald Trump threatening to cancel a number of contracts, particularly for the likes of SpaceX and, of course, the satellite unit Starlink. Well, shares in rivals to both of those were unsurprisingly up in trading as people sort of considered what might happen going forward. And of course, you've got to also remember when it comes to SpaceX, the Dragon space station is the only spacecraft capable of sending astronauts to the space station there. So, you know, you can just see how integrated Elon Musk has become in the government and big questions about, you know, what happens if these two men can't get along in the future.
So when it comes to the financial markets, does this just impact Elon Musk and people who have shares in his company, or are the ramifications wider than that?
Obviously, people that have shares in his company will have seen their value of their investment fall yesterday. Just looking at how they've been performing since the start of the year, Tesla shares down 25%. But if you look over the course of 12 months, they're still up 60%. So, you know, the investment itself, some people would say, well, look, let's wait and see what happens. Now Elon Musk has said that he's going to be very much back the driving seat there. There are obviously some issues in terms of Chinese competitors, which have impacted Tesla, but his public face within that administration has really been seen as Marmite by a lot of people and put some people off owning Teslas. Now, just in terms of generally, obviously, when you have this kind of implosion between these two very public figures at the center of US government, it does create uncertainty and really unsettles wider markets. So I think people will be watching very closely over the coming days to see exactly what happens, particularly with Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill.
That's a really big question now. And do you see any signs that the business and trading community has taken a side there on that, on the bill itself, which is where this problem for Elon Musk certainly started?
Certainly, you've seen bond markets reacting to the fact that this big, beautiful bill would absolutely increase the levels of debt that the United States government already has. I mean, you are talking trillions. It is absolutely massive. It's why the credit rating agency Moody's downgraded the United States from its AA rating, which is the sort of highest credit rating that you can get. Effectively, investors are demanding a little bit more in order to take on US government debt. And that means that US government debt costs more. Mm-hmm. All of these things are the things that Donald Trump doesn't want.
Danny, thank you so much. Now we move to Greg Swenson, chairman of Republicans Overseas. Hello, Greg.
Hi, good morning.
What do you make of all this? I mean, I was reading some commentators who say it could be the beginning of the end for Donald Trump, this unseemly row. What's your take on it?
Well, I don't agree with that. I don't think it's the beginning of the end of President Trump. I think it's, but I do agree with Caroline Leavitt. It's really unfortunate. I think, you know, that you have two very powerful men with, and you know, very large egos. We get that. So maybe you could argue it was inevitable. And you know, Elon had been very clear from the beginning that this was a temporary stint for him, but to go from, you know, last Friday when everybody was happy and complimentary to each other to this is really unsettling. As your first guest mentioned, you know, the markets don't like uncertainty, and now we have a bit more of that. And the bill is up in the air. I mean, I think that could be a real disappointment if the bill does not pass. And I hear that a lot of critics argue that the bill will create more debt. And I disagree with that, because the reality is the tax cuts in 2017 resulted in a 50% increase in tax receipts. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more the opposite. It's more, if the bill doesn't pass, that could be a disaster for the markets.
Yeah, I suppose it's just when you see the markets deciding already that that debt narrative is what they accept, whether it's going to happen or not. Once you see that happening, Greg, you're in trouble. Now you don't have Elon Musk on side. He's a dangerous enemy for anybody to have, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you had to pick sides, I mean, already you saw last night the support from, at least from Republicans, is definitely weighted toward President Trump in this little spat. But there's collateral damage, and I don't think it's good for either one of them. But I do think that, you know, Elon has a lot to lose here. But I do think that the U.S. has a lot to lose, too, if they don't kiss and make up.
You see, I know what you're saying. He has a lot to lose. He's got security clearance now because he has, what, a promise of $3 billion in contracts with the American government. But Donald Trump has a lot to lose as well. And Elon Musk showed very quickly last night that he's willing to play very dirty here with this allegation, unsubstantiated, about the Epstein files. This is what I mean about, you don't want him as an enemy, do you?
Of course not. And that's why I do hope, and I do think there's a good chance that they kiss and make up. And I think, because they both win if they kiss and make up. And the bill is not perfect. I, and like many conservatives, wish there were more spending cuts in it. But we have to understand, you know, that we will not get one vote from the Democrats in the House on this bill with any spending cuts in it. So, you have to compromise. You have to be realistic about these things.
I think what you're telling me is that strategically you want Elon Musk inside the tent rather than outside it. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think that would be great. It doesn't mean that we can't go on without Elon. It's just that it would be better if they weren't fighting publicly, that's for sure.
He's so disruptive when he's inside the tent too, isn't he? I mean, he was a problem there with his big chainsaw. He annoyed a lot of people with those cuts.
He did. I mean, mostly people on the left, but also, you know, some on the right and some in the administration. And so I think Elon leaving the White House, but continuing to be an outside advisor and especially having DOGE continue, is a great thing. I think it might even be more effective without him now that he's got it established.
Well, what about Steve Bannon's suggestion that Elon Musk's immigration status be investigated, his alleged drug use as well being be investigated, his security clearance be suspended? What do you think?
There's no love lost between Steve Bannon and Elon, and that was definitely a rivalry in the MAGA world. And I think I don't think that would be productive to go after Elon on those things. I don't think that will happen either. But it's, I also last night at 6 o'clock when I was asked similar questions, I said, this is just a speed bump. It's not a breakup. Boy, I'd like to take that one back.
It's a breakup, Greg. It's definitely a breakup, isn't it? And then politically for the Republicans, there's danger here as well, because you saw what Elon Musk did on X when he asked that question about who wants a moderate party and the response that he got. That has to be a worry for Republicans.
Yeah, I do think that's, it's the party of the big tent. We want to keep the coalition together. But I do think that ultimately the conservative movement will win, but you surely want to have support and a coalition of different people. I mean, look at how many Democrats we brought into the fold in the last election, and even in the cabinet, with Tulsi Gabbard, and, in many respects, Elon was a Democrat and RFK Jr. And so, that's a coalition we'd like to keep together. And, again, that's why I hope they, sort of kiss and make up and keep Elon on side.
Well, let's bring in Dr. Mark Shanahan now, who's Associate Professor of Political Engagement at the University of Surrey and editor of The Trump Presidency from Campaign Trail to World Stage. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
So, everyone is saying this was to be expected, but perhaps we didn't expect it to look as spectacular as this, did you?
Well, there's only room for one emperor at the top of America, and Donald Trump was never, ever going to tolerate somebody else coming in and stealing his oxygen of publicity. And in many ways, I am surprised that the relationship has lasted so long. Elon Musk was incredibly useful to Trump in getting him elected, $200 million, and tweaking all of those algorithms around X to make sure that all of the messages going out to people on X were in favor of the Republican campaigns. But his utility had waned pretty much by the time the inauguration swung round in January. And while he's been getting lots of headlines with Doge, Doge has actually achieved very little and has been dangerously disruptive rather than reducing the cost of public services in America.
So do you think that this row is really about the big, beautiful bill, or is it about something else?
It's the egos have landed. It's two big boys battling for the affections of America, but really for power. So you've got the most important political player in Donald Trump, and he has a presidential advantage, but you have the wealthiest man on the planet going up against him. Mm-hmm. And they both want that ultimate share of power. Musk thought that Trump was going to be his door into politics. Trump sees Musk as the man who kept him out of jail. He's out of jail. He's never going to jail now. So therefore, Musk becomes less important. The big, beautiful bill is a very handy stick to whack Trump with. And Musk will use it in every way he can to ensure that Trump leaves the White House with no positive legacy.
So who is going to ship the most damage, do you think, as a result of all of this?
Well, Trump's won the first battle, but I think this will be quite a long war. Musk has jumped from business to business to business over the last quarter of a century. Don't forget, he really started off in PayPal. So not very, very exciting. He's not an inventor. He's an investor. And he has more money than you can throw a stick at. that he can use in his battle against Trump. And it seems to be that this has become a sport for him. Trump wants to leave the White House with a positive legacy. He wants to create a dynasty so that Trumpism survives him. It will be difficult if Musk is snapping at his throat at every turn.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. That is Mark Shanahan, Dr. Mark Shanahan there, who's editor of the Trump Presidency from Campaign Trail to World Stage. Sarah Firth, foreign correspondent based in Washington, joins us from there now. Sarah, we have heard that there's going to be, I think it's Politico reporting, that there is going to be a phone call between Elon Musk and Donald Trump. Greg Swenson from Republicans Overseas told us a moment ago he hopes that they can kiss and make up, bury the hatchet on this one. How likely is that?
Well, I think there's going to be a huge numbers of people behind the scenes on both sides, on both of their teams, trying to make that happen. There's certainly been a bit of noise coming from within the administration that although there is going to be a huge push after this explosive public spat between the two, the difficulty is perhaps that the fight was so very public and got so personal. So, you know, you had at the start of the day, this sort of playing out in real time on the social media platforms. You then sort of had Trump, you know, at the heart of this big, beautiful bill and the criticism. So we know that Elon Musk has been a vocal critic before this argument went so public. He's been urging lawmakers to kill that bill. He's called it a disgusting abomination, said it adds to the country's debt. You know, we know that this is really at the heart, the big, beautiful bill at the heart of Trump's America First agenda. So he was, you know, you sort of had Trump being asked questions about this at the White House, saying, well, Musk's opposition began because the bill was eliminating electric vehicle tax credits that would hurt Tesla. You know, you had Musk responding and that the bill wasn't changed him even once. But then it got really personal because you had these accusations, Claire, about the Epstein files and the president perhaps being in them, and that's why they hadn't been released. As you pointed out, importantly, there hasn't been any evidence that he's provided so far for any of those allegations. At one point, suggesting Trump could be impeached. So I think there is some indications behind the scenes that perhaps the fact that it got so personal means it might be a little bit difficult to row this back.
Do you get the sense that Republicans are very nervous about all of this, or do they think it's just a row between two egos? Let's move on.
Oh, I wish I could have recorded the responses. I was round the corner from the White House looking at TV screens for a couple of hours as this was playing out, with some very senior military personnel, and the eye rolls and the groans and the literal heads in hands at some of the headlines that were running and things that were being put out on social media. I mean, there was almost, honestly, the air of the ridiculous about some of the things that were being said. You know, you had sort of, you know, Elon Musk, this tech billionaire, President Trump, you know, making these accusations back and forth. And you had laughing face emojis from Elon Musk. You've had Trump claiming at one point in the White House when he was questioned, you know, because he was asked, this is the guy that you've asked the American people to trust with, you know, helping with spending in America, with helping control spending. And now you don't want us to trust him anymore. And Trump claiming, well, you know, this might be a case of Trump derangement syndrome. Once people leave the White House and leave his team, they become hostile. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, Trump derangement syndrome or a sort of billionaire breakup, either way, that has very significant implications. As I said, air of the ridiculous, but those consequences, you know, not just for the companies involved, NASA, SpaceX, Tesla, but for Congress, for this bill and for the global economy. So very serious consequences, possibly.
Sarah, thank you so much. Sarah Firth there. And I know both men don't sleep very much, Elon Musk and Donald Trump, so we're keeping a close eye on Truth Social and on X. We'll bring you up to date if there are any developments, and we'll have more on this from Washington a little bit later on. Coming up next, though, two primary school children deported, a principal's upset, plus why are sales of electric vehicles falling?